Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and with me today is Pastor Jonathan Albright. Jonathan, you were just sharing with us before the broadcast began that you've been really a part of these broadcasts for quite some time and helping with, I think you said, hundreds of these broadcasts with Pastor Sam Horn and Doc O. And, but yeah, this is the first time that we've actually been able to sit down and talk with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a privilege to be in the studio. I remember when the studio was put in here several years ago.
Yeah.
And as we were praying about what God would do through the Word for Life ministry, God just chose to use me along with a team of people as the radio broadcast was started. And then just to see how God's used through Pastor Sam and Les Olala.
Right.
And now all of the members coming in to share their heart and their testimony. It's just a blessing to be part of the Brookside family and see how God's used the life testimonies on the air.
Pastor Jonathan Albright is probably, other than our founding pastor, Pastor Joe Helm, has been on staff with us for 10 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, nearly 10 years. Sarah and I moved here. Never thought I'd live in Wisconsin. I grew up in Chicago. I lived part of my life in Kansas City and then Detroit area. But God graciously led Sarah, my wife, and I here nearly 10 years ago to join the pastoral team. And it's been a journey watching God change lives miraculously through His Word.
Well, it's been certainly my joy to serve with you for the last 2.5 years. And we have watched the Lord just do some incredible things. In fact, we want to talk about what the Lord is doing in your heart and life. Your wife's name is Sarah. Should we call you Abraham?
Oh, well, I think perhaps the account that we read in the Hebrews 11 and Genesis, I'm not comparing myself to the faith that Abraham exercised, but in many ways I can identify as I read his life and how God directed him and how he willingly obeyed. That's one of the kind of heart that I want to have. I don't always have it, but certainly God's used the life of Abraham and Sarah in Sarah in my life.
Right. And as you consider what the Lord has in store for you. You shared with the church a few weeks back that God was a God of change.
Mm-hmm.
And we on pastoral staff knew that you'd been just really wrestling with exactly what God wanted you to be doing and where and all this type of thing. But it was certainly a shock to our congregation that the Lord was leading you away from our congregation and leading you to make some major, major changes. And as we talk this morning, Pastor Jonathan, we're talking to folks that may be facing some major changes themselves. And so I just wanted you to just kind of share with us how the Lord led you from being just totally fulfilled and satisfied, how God just began to work in your heart to let you know, you know, this is good, but this is not everything I have in store for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what God's done in my life, this has been a process. He's still doing this in my life, is that He's taking me back to these basic lessons of humility and contentment. If I were going to narrow down God's working in my life, He's created circumstances. And I believe that God, because He is sovereign, and He actually tells us in His Word, we read in James chapter 1, that God actually sovereignly superintends and orchestrates divine circumstances to test our faith and to build Christ-like character into our lives. And so, you know, I came to Brookside when I was, I think, 21, 22 years old, just newly married, scared, fearful, insecure. And I remember just those early years, you just feel like you don't know anything. And you don't.
And you don't,
You don't know anything. Still don't know anything. But God uses in the life of the church, and He just graciously walks you through circumstances of life that don't just have a dead end. They actually, sometimes you don't know till you look back and God shows you what He was doing. But what God was doing over these last years was putting me in situations where God would humble me and He would put me in a place where I had to come to the conclusion that all I really needed was my relationship with Him. And then everything else around me just seemed like it was God's grace poured out on my life. And so God used circumstances. Actually, he used the ministry to sanctify me probably just about more than anything else over the last 10 years. So as we've been laboring and serving together here, God's taken me back to a couple passages, one in James 1 that I mentioned earlier, where we read about the purpose of trials in our lives. It's to work endurance, which means patience, endurance into our life. And then Psalm 130 has also been a rock that I've gone to and a comfort. And in Psalm 130, we read the psalmist is crying out in the depths of his heart. He's crying out for God. And it's in these places where we find ourselves in these deep, dark places where we even doubt and wonder if God really is there, that we actually find what God really wants us to find, and that is we can actually be completely satisfied in him. Psalm 130 says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. I will wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. And then Psalmist says here, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And it's just a powerful picture as these watchmen that would wait for the sunrise and just anticipate that sun just coming over the horizon.
Right.
And the yearning and longing of your heart just to wait on the Lord. And what God is teaching me is that a lot of times in the times of waiting, God actually doesn't want me to have what I want him to do. He actually wants me just to sit there and to wait. And I read Spurgeon, what he said about the psalm. He actually said that really it's only through deep places that we gain a deep devotion to God.
When we become desperate for God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so what you're saying is so many times we're too busy and we don't spend that quality time with the Lord. And it's like the psalmist said, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. So it's not just a sitting down in a chair and just kind of looking out across the horizon. It's waiting in his word and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to use his word to minister to our heart personally.
Yeah. Yeah. God has also taught me the nature of my own flesh. He's taught me that I really, when I wake up in the morning without God, what I want to do is I want to be in control of every circumstance in my life.
Well, you're the only one, though, that ever wants to be in control.
Yeah, yeah.
None of us ever want to be in control.
Yeah. But I really, at the end of the day, if it was up to me, I want to be in control.
Sure.
And I want to determine and manipulate the circumstances of my life. And if that's how God allows me to remain, then at the end of my life, I will look more like myself and less like Jesus Christ. And we know that God's goal for us all is that we would grow in the character of Christ. And the only way that that happens is for God to place us in very deep, dependent places in our life where all we can run to is the Lord. And then sometimes you think, okay, God, isn't this long enough? And God still doesn't seem to relieve that waiting. And it can be frustrating if you lose heart that God maybe has left you, and he hasn't.
Sure.
He actually has you right where he wants you.
You know, I was a history major the first couple of years of college, and I remember studying some strategy books on the Civil War, and the statement was made that many of the generals for the South were geniuses as far as military strategy and these kinds of things, and there was really a great possibility that they could have won the war if the soldiers had followed the orders of their generals. Mm. And if the generals had honestly just totally followed the orders of their commanding generals, but so many times those generals underneath the commanding general said, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't see that. I don't know. I really don't know what's going on. And so consequently made their own decisions and thwarted the entire battle plan of a commanding general because they thought they knew best.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that so much like us? We feel like we know best. And so when things aren't going our way, you said we're often manipulating circumstances. Do we sometimes get tempted to manipulate people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the nature of our trials, they come in different shapes and sizes.
Sure.
I mean, God sometimes uses tragedy. Sometimes he uses disappointment. He uses our own failures to show us that we really aren't all that we think we're cracked up to be. And he also, in my life, I can just speak from my own experience, he's really used the area of life of relationships.
Yes.
And I think those are the areas where we're tempted to try to manipulate people so that, because then we feel like we're in control. And sometimes God just allows us to be in places where he actually wants us to lean on him, that he's actually the one that can turn the heart of a king. He's the one that actually can do the heart work.
When we can't.
Absolutely. I mean, God does use us. I mean, I'm not doubting the fact that God uses us in times in our life to speak truth into people's lives, and people have spoken the truth into my life, and God has used it as a catalyst in my life spiritually. But so often, the older I get, you know, you realize you can't change anyone, and I'm sure there are people thinking, boy, they can't change me.
Exactly.
But I know one thing they can. It's the Word of God, and it's the Spirit of God at work in your life. So I praise God for the last years just ministering together with just wonderful, wonderful people at Brookside, and looking forward to what God's going to do in seeing a partnership remain between this family that I love so much.
Right. Now, tell me about, no, you can't tell me about the partnership because we've just gotten word our time is up. So we'll have to pick that up the next broadcast. I want to just understand how you and Sarah have gotten the peace to know that, okay, God has a next step for you, and here you are with three children and the fourth one on the way, and God wants you to step out into an unknown area with unknown finances, with everything unknown as far as control is concerned, but God has been preparing your heart for that.
Yeah, I'll look forward to sharing that, Lord willing, on another broadcast.
Well, until that time, folks, I trust that you will be much in prayer whenever God is trying to make some changes in your life, and do the same thing that Pastor Jonathan is doing. Hear my Lord. Work in my life. However, whenever. Until next time, may the Lord bless you in a great way.